You're listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, Liberated Syndication, iTunes, and multiple media channels connected to the TBFS radio network. This top-ranked business talk radio show features the obstacles and challenges that are common to business everywhere around the world. Most importantly, you'll connect with thousands of success stories on how business people overcame these hurdles on their road to success. For any business owner in our listening audience who's facing a particular problem or challenge that you've not been able to solve, you might be concerned about your future, or you're just not satisfied with the financial results in your company. Reach out to us here on the broadcast at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. We'll be happy to put you in touch with hundreds of resources that you may not have been aware are available to your business today, many of which are free. For those of you needing a professional level of assistance in your organization, many of the hosts on the broadcast also coach business owners outside of the show. We have visited with thousands of business people, seeing their struggles and challenges and their solutions to these problems. We have a clue what's working and what's not. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us today at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and the TBFS radio staff, I'm Kevin Hunter. Stay tuned. The Business Forum Show is next. Kevin Hunter here on the Business Forum Show, and my special guest with me via teleconference is Ellen Pellestrant, and you can find her online at ellenpellestrant.com. I'm going to spell that for you. It's E-L-L-E-N, and the last name, P-A-L-E-S-T-R-A-N-T.com. Again, ellenpellestrant.com. You can also email her at lnp@cox.net, and that's lnp@cox.net. Welcome to the Business Forum Show, Ellen.
Thank you so much, Kevin, and I'm so pleased to be on your show.
I love to have you here today, and in part because we share something in common. We like to think outside the box, think creatively, and you express yourself in a lot of different ways in these venues. So first of all, share with our listeners what you do professionally, and then I want to get into some of the creative thought processes.
Sure. I have had a very varied professional life and have enjoyed doing all the things I've done. But what I do at this particular point and just love what I'm doing is that I write, I paint, I make films, and I see the connections between all the things I do. Ideas pop into my head, and I feel the kind of confidence to just see what their potential is.
Sure.
What I also do is consult with people about possibly their creative blocks. I love creating, but I also love watching other people create and helping them along their pathways.
Well, you mentioned about people's creative blocks, and I have to share with you a childhood story of mine. I actually grew up being a very introverted person. I was very shy. In fact, I was voted as the most shy person in my class when I graduated back in 84. And so, but let me share something with you. I was actually working on my uncle's farm as a youngster, and I was observing the fact that the cattle would get up at the same morning in the barn. They'd walk out of the barn, go down the same fence line, stay out in the field for the same amount of time each day, and then walk back and be back in the barn almost like somebody called them or paged them to come to the barn. And they walked in there by themselves at 5 o'clock, and I observed that they did that day after day after day, and I was just mystified by it. And I visited with my Uncle Ray about it, and he said, yeah, Kevin, he says, they're very much creatures of habit. They walk down the same fence line. Later, as I was thinking about that, I was going, why doesn't the cow ever get off its fence line? And just kind of jokingly, I had told my uncle, I said, well, so when the cow arrives back to the barn in the evening and it lifts its tail, it's same crap, different day. And he got a big laugh out of it. And I said, you know what the sad thing is, Ray, is we do that to ourselves every single day with our habits by following the same routines and everything else every day. Your thoughts on that analogy?
Wonderful analogy. It is such a metaphor for the uncreative life and the stultified life. And yes, cows have no choice. This mm-hmm. is who they are. This is what they do. But we do have choice. And I think people who do lead lives that are completely routine bound are going to have very narrow experiences, be very incurious about things, And it just seems really sad when there's just so much out there and they have so much potential within themselves to explore.
Sure.
I think it's an excellent analogy, and we don't want to be those cows outside on the field just doing the same repetitive thing all the time.
You know what's interesting, and I think you'll love to hear this, Ellen. When I was in college, having seen a little bit of this and recognizing that we as human beings do this, when I would go to my classes, I would deliberately sit in a different chair every single time I went to class. And I was amazed by how sometimes people would come up to me and almost sit on me before they realize that somebody was sitting in, quote unquote, their chair. Because, and of course, nothing was assigned in college as far as assigned seating. And yet people would come back and come to sit in the same places. And it was just more confirmation to me that if we aren't actively doing things to give ourselves permission to think outside these little restraints, that we'll actually become more narrow-minded over time based on our experience in education rather than more open-minded.
Oh, I fully agree with you. And, you know, although on the one hand routines are necessary,
sure,
and comforting and they give us a sense of organization and control, we can't be completely governed by them. And doing something different and really different and becoming what I think is really important, self-challenging. You know, we don't need to take directives from other people all the time because obviously, you know, we're going to try and be good citizens and all those sort of things. But in a society such as America, which I call a creatopia because there's just so many different possibilities, it's such a pity not to enter the creative life because not only does it enrich us, but it enriches the lives of others as well. It's important for society to have people who create and for you to be part of that creative society as well.
I'm curious if there are specific things that you do, Ellen, to maintain your mental flexibility. Because, as you mentioned, the routines are important. They do give us some safety and security, but it's easier to rely on that than it is to think about something fresh and something new. And I have found, at least for myself, unless I continue to challenge myself in that regard, it's very easy for me to become closed-minded too. Are there specific things that you do to harvest that creativity out of yourself?
That it's become so much part of my nature. But for people who are not used to this, I have to say that creativity comes with practice. The more you do, the more comfortable you feel doing it, and the more you want to do. And you start to look at things differently. You look at the other side of things. You know, it's not just maybe an egg in an egg cup. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could look at that cup and that egg and think, oh, imagine if this egg could fly, and you could even write a story about that. I mean, it's just extending your thoughts and knowing that nothing is ridiculous because you don't have to develop that flying egg, for example. Mm-hmm. But you can think about it. And this is why brainstorming and unfettered brainstorming is really important, alone and together with other people.
I coach with businesses outside of my broadcast, Ellen, and one of the things that I tell business owners all the time, because all of us collect our little, you know, in the business world, even taking that outside of our personal lives, in the business world, we collect what I call this little fact box that we have. And so we start to put all these things that we know to be true in our business, and we surround ourselves with these facts, and we become more and more comfortable. And like I said earlier, I think a little bit closed-minded around that. I ask people to take these things out of your fact box and ask yourself, if this was not true, what would I be doing instead? It really makes your business forces you to look at your business in a completely different aspect. My special guest here on the show today is Ellen Palestrant. We're going to be back to talk about her book, Have You Ever Had a Hunch? You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Some great conversation around that. Again, my special guest, Ellen Palestrant, and you can find her online, ellenpalestrant.com. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned. The Army used to say, we're looking for a few good men. Along these lines, the Business Forum Show is looking for a few good business owners, men or women. You don't have to be an amazing company. You only need to have the right attitude to join an exclusive group of companies that the TBFS cast has worked with in this past year. 12 different companies in the last 12 months improved their profitability an average of 252%. That's correct, 252%.
Do you think you have the right attitude to join these business owners? If you're selected, you'll learn from the best and brightest people in business today, and your company will be on its way to an amazing future. Again, the website is thebusinessforumshow.com. Or call our studio, 763-267-7260. Again, 763-267-7260. The 250% Profit Improvement Club is looking for a few new members. Call TBFS today.
Kevin Hunter back here on the Business Forum Show, and my special guest is Ellen Palestrant. You can find her online at ellenpalestrant.com. And we've been talking about creativity and keeping those creative juices flowing. So I want to share with you, Ellen, some of the practices that I engage in on a daily basis to help keep myself mentally flexible. Because as we were talking about the cow walking down the fence line, I decided that the only way that my mind could be more open, we'd argue that humans are obviously more intelligent than a cow. But that also gives me an opportunity to make choices. And I said, instead of putting myself mentally on that fence line every single day, I'm going to force myself to have to change. So one of the things that I do today, because I used to be a very picky eater, when I go to restaurants, I make the waiter or waitress bring me what they think is good, and I don't let them ask me any questions or make any comments to try to figure out what I like. In fact, if I notice somebody is being too prying and trying to ruin my surprise, I'll actually lay a $10 or $20 tip on the table, and I say, I take every dollar off for every question you have. What are your questions? And they're like, oh, okay, well, you just want me to bring anything? And I'll say yes. So then other things like that, even clothing, I'll have other people pick out the clothing that I'm going to wear. If you're a woman who loves to dress to the nines when you go out, I say, hey, you know what? Why don't you let your husband pick your clothes once? And women who dress like that will say, I would never do that. And why not? So think of just about some of those things. And so I'm curious what your thought is on that. And then we also want to talk about your book, Have You Ever Had a Hunch? I love the title of the book, by the way, Ellen.
Thank you very much. Yes, and we can talk about that, but I just want to respond to what you've said. You know, what I'm seeing in you is somebody that is unafraid of criticism. Not to say there might not be a degree of it here and there, but it's so what? I'll dress this way. I'll let somebody else dress me. I will try and eat this food. You know, you really are open to the new, mm-hmm. to new experiences, to novelties, to new ideas. And the problem with even with successful people is that they become very tied to what has been successful for them in the past, not only what's been successful for others, but to them. And therefore, they never really up the ante of what they're creating. They keep on reproducing themselves and what they've done all the time. So they even become stereotypes of themselves. So I think just breaking it the way you're saying is just extremely good. And, you know, when I've had maybe really difficult audiences, or I think they're going to be difficult, for example, Superior Court judges, I did a talk on creativity to them, for them. It was kind of mandatory, they had to attend. And I just saw the very serious faces and the sort of look of, well, defend yourself. And I thought to myself, am I going to be put in front of a firing squad? No. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I will just do it my way. And they had a great deal of fun just becoming uninhibited and spontaneous.
I have to say something about that really quickly here, and then we'll talk about your book. One of the things that has really come full circle for me when I observe other people in business and in life, there's a four-letter word that is really prevalent in a lot of people's lives, and that's fear. And when I think about doing these things of breaking routines in very small ways, I'm allowing my brain and my body to experience little tiny pieces of fear. Like when I tell somebody to bring whatever they want, there's a part of me that's going, oh my gosh, I hope they don't bring, you know, this or that or whatever. And so I experience that on a regular basis. And I think about people who, you know, they'll say, you know, I got to go speak or I got to do this event and I got butterflies in my stomach and I don't know what to do. But by doing these habits on a regular basis, not only am I allowing myself to think creatively, but I've taught myself how to control fear. And subsequently, when I go speak in front of an audience, I still have butterflies in my stomach. But over time, I have taught those butterflies how to fly in formation and they bring out the best in me when I go to speak.
Now, that is so true, because I find for me spontaneity when I go and speak is by far the best. I don't want to just rely, I don't read stuff. I know my stuff and hope that I will continue to know what I want to talk about. And as you say, those butterflies become something that really make you fly. You fly with them. But yes, fears are there, as I think for most people, however used to being in the public eye, they are. But they do overcome it, you know, in their own ways. But fear is realistic. And in my book, I say, you know, if the ocean is infested with sharks, don't swim. Mm-hmm. But if it's full of good ideas, just take the plunge. And
yes.
Good ideas abound. They're everywhere if you're open to them.
Mm-hmm. So, I like I told you earlier, I love the title, Have You Ever Had a Hunch? And when you're talking about this whole piece of spontaneity and that being part of creativity, I have to tell you, Ellen, you're one of the few guests that I've interviewed on my show. And I've actually been in radio broadcast. I started my first show in 1999 in Michigan years ago. But you're one of the few people who've ever said, hey, let's just roll this. I would like it to just be spontaneous. Most people are uncomfortable doing that. You've clearly taught yourself that. And you do it exceptionally well. So let's talk about, have you ever had a hunch? What do people expect to find in the book?
Okay, well, first of all, you know, what is a hunch? I mean, it is your instinct, those wonderful intuitive moments. It's that gut feel. It's a sort of an automatic response to something that has stimulated you. And too many people don't take that seriously. After all, what is a hunch? You know, where does it come from? But really, it comes from within you, from past experience. It has a certain amount of knowledge within it, even though it's just that fleeting bit of information. So I look at the obstacles that stand in the way of people recognizing their hunches and therefore their own creative ability. Mm-hmm. And I examine it, and fear, which you've just discussed, is enormous. You know, there's so much fear of all sorts of things that needs to be addressed. I call them creativity crunches, hunch crunches, but they're obstacles. And it's negativity, which is the voices of others in your head, you know, which you've absorbed over the years, and also your own voices. It's dogmatism. Being with dogmatic or negative people is pretty toxic. Nobody is all that confident, but it is nice to be with realistically positive people. You know, not just a fan club, but people who really understand the whole creative process and the joy and the exuberance that comes with it. So, my book is called Have You Ever Had a Hunch? The Importance of Creative Thinking, which is also the importance of independent thinking. Creativity, independence are pretty synonymous. It's being really open to your own ideas and allowing those to flow in an uncensored fashion until you decide just what you want to do with it. But you really do examine the potential of it. That's important.
We're going to leave it there. I thank you for being on the show with us today, Ellen. My special guest has been Ellen Palestrant. You can find her website, ellenpalestrant.com. Again, I'm Kevin Hunter here on the Business Forum Show. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, Liberated Syndication, iTunes, and multiple media channels connected to the TBFS radio network. If you have any questions or comments for our staff, please reach out to us at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and the TBFS radio staff, I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening.